Hey, I want to welcome you to Fairhaven. We are so glad that you're here tonight. And if you're a regular around here, or if this is your first time here, we're just thrilled that you're all here to come celebrate this season with us. And if you are a first-time visitor, first time here, and you're not coming from like way out of town, we would love for you to consider this your church. We're a church where we want you to feel at home. And one of our sayings around here is that this is a place where you can belong before you behave or believe. And when we say behave, we just mean if you have some notion in your mind that you have to behave in a certain way, that's not true for us. Or if you have to believe in order to be a part of this, that's not true. You can explore the things of Christ, and we're just super glad that you're here today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son that came into this world for each one of us. And as we think about the things of Christmas, think about this holy night and all that it means. We pray your blessing on the words that are spoken and the way that we receive it. And may you get glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So I've noticed that in both services now there are a bunch of children around here, and I can hear them, and I'm good with that as well, just so you know. I'm good with that, and the people around you are good with that too. And kids, we want you to know that from our perspective as adults, you make Christmas way better for us. I love children at Christmas time. We all do, because it's exciting. Even the thought of it, Kathy and I don't have children in the home anymore, at least little children. Our kids still show up, but they're older. But to have children in the home, just the thought of it and what it was like, we know what you kids are going to do tomorrow morning. You're going to wake up early, and you're going to be banging on the door. You're going to be ready to run either downstairs, or if you're on the main level, you're going to run toward the Christmas tree. Can't wait to get that wrapping paper flying all over the place, opening up the box, taking whatever's in that box, whether it's worth $100, $200, setting it aside and playing with a 10-cent box. You know, that's Christmas, right? I remember one of my greatest Christmas gifts was my dad bought a big old refrigerator, and it had a refrigerator box. We got the box to play in. It was amazing. So for us adults, you help make the season incredible, and we're grateful for each one of you kids. And I know the adults here, I know you, and I know what a lot of us are thinking when it comes to the season of Christmas, and it's this. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's this. What crazy ancient Roman thought it was a good idea to invent fruitcake? I'm like, come on, man. Like, right? And we know that stuff. It's not going to make the dessert tray in heaven. It won't make it there. And we know that Christmas is filled with all kinds of amazing stuff. There's an energy that happens at this time of year. And we get to tell our stories and relive stories together around the table. We get to think about flying reindeer and melting snowmen that come back to life somehow magically. We attend parties, and we get to decorate our houses. And does it look better at any other time of year than it does right now? I don't think so. It's an amazing time of year. And even Alice Cooper, I mean, can you believe this? Alice Cooper even weighed in on this season by saying the two most joyous times of the year are Christmas morning and when school's out for the summer. That's a quote. That's a quote. And there's a whole bunch of people that didn't grow up in the 80s when rock and roll was rock and roll. They don't have a song going on in their head, but we do, right? This time of year truly is amazing. And when we think about a scan of history and think about the people that have made a real dent in history, there's a handful of people we could point to, but we have gathered to celebrate one who broke into this world, whose name is Jesus, that changed this world more than any other human being ever has. In fact, The telling of this story for one man named John took him off this planet to get the story started. And John was, he was just a little boy when he was hanging out with Jesus, or a growing young man anyway, maybe 9, 10 years old when he started spending time with Jesus. And he was one of Jesus's disciples, the youngest of the disciples, a student of Jesus, and he wanted to tell the story of who Jesus is. He saw the miracles that he created. He watched Jesus teach with incredible authority. He watched his compassion. He watched the way he took children and put them up on his lap and embraced them. He saw how he was good with people that a lot of the religious people just went, we shouldn't hang out with those. And Jesus went, no, I love all people. He watched all this. He watched Jesus die. He saw Jesus after he came out of the tomb. And this guy named John said, I need to get the story out. And when he started his story, he didn't start here. He didn't even start when the world existed. He started pre-existing everything. And he said, in the beginning, before anything was the Word, the Logos, Jesus. He was in the very beginning of it all. And he was with God and, hold on, he was God. He was in the beginning, and everything that got made, it got made through him. Nothing was made that he didn't make. And he was like a light that was bursting into the scene, into planet Earth, into the darkness of despair, loneliness, brokenness, death itself. He was a light that was breaking into this world. And the darkness, it had no power to overcome him. In fact, he was the overcomer. These are the words of John trying to describe what this night is about and what we remember. And this story of Jesus coming into this world, it is so incredible. It is so amazing that we can tell this story again and again and again and again, year after year after year, century after century, thousands of years, 2,000 years later, and we never grow old of it. As we tell the story, it doesn't rob it of its power. We tell the story again and again, and it matters not how many times we tell it. It takes nothing away from the mystery of the story. It is an incredible story. And I think about how will we tonight together, how will we try to wrap our minds around the expanse of the story? How will we, just human beings, with our finite understanding, be able to grasp the magnitude of what God did? What words could I possibly use? What thoughts could we possibly have that will be able to comprehend the power of His love? And when I ask questions like that, how or what questions, I think we know that the how or the what questions actually aren't the largest questions we have. Oh, those are big questions. But they're not the largest questions we have in this world. The largest questions we have are typically our first questions that, as we get older, they run a whole lot deeper. It's like, why? Children say that a lot, right? Why? But as we get older, our why questions start to get really deep. Why, God? Why am I here? Why do we even exist? What's the purpose of our existence? Why do we exist? I think the largest questions around Christmas really are, why Christmas in the first place? Why Christmas? Why this dream that stirred in your mind, that took birth out of your heart? Why? Because I think to get at the what of Christmas, that's pretty simple. You could ask just about anybody. I can't think of anybody I've met, anybody that I know, that wouldn't be able to tell me something about Christmas, at least take a stab a little bit at it. You know, what's Christmas about? And some might say, well, it's about decorating your tree. It's about putting presents under the tree. Another might go, time out. It's more than that. It's about a pickle in a tree, right? It's about elf on a shelf or whatever. I don't know a lot about that. Some people are doing that elf on the shelf thing. It's about that. Others might go, it's not about elf on a shelf. It's not about pickles on a tree. It's not about trees and it's not about gifts. It's actually a season of well wishes. It's a season of joy. It's a season of giving of yourself. That's what Christmas is. And I think we could admit here tonight, if we just gave a minute to think about it, that if Christmas is only about a pickle or an elf, or it's only about some of the stories we tell, or it's about even well wishes and a season of joy, if that's all it is, it would have never lasted this long. We would not still be talking about it. Christmas is about so much more. To get at the what of Christmas, we could come at it from so many angles. And it could find its way to the top of the list for so many people. If we were to say, what is Christmas about? Some might come at it and go, man, it means something different for me as a merchant. It means something different for me as a travel agent. For a mom who gets her children home, that means something different for her. What Christmas is about for people that be able to gather with friends and families. We could go all over the place for what Christmas is. In fact, I think if we were to ask people just randomly when we knew nothing about Christmas, what is Christmas all about anyway? We could end up in a place that would be no different than Charlie Brown ended up. When Charlie Brown stood there, the writer of that story, Charlie Brown's Christmas, Charles Schulz, had him eventually posing the question like he's scratching his head, saying, there has to be more to this thing called Christmas. And finally, Charlie Brown just cries out, does anybody know what Christmas is all about? What it's all about. In fact, let's roll that clip out and take a look at it.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Isn't that great? This is the classic, classic. And the words that Linus is actually speaking aren't Linus's words. Those are the words of another man that wrote two books of the Bible. His name is Luke, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And Luke also knew of Jesus and was in that era where he's trying to get the message out. This is the way he told the what of Christmas. And he gave all this detail, just saying, here's what Christmas is. It's Mary and it's Joseph that went to Bethlehem. Christmas is this. They were denied the guest room. They stayed where the animals stayed. Mary gave birth to Jesus. Mary put Jesus in a feeding trough. The shepherds were approached by angels. The angels delivered a birth announcement. The angels sang glory to God. The shepherds showed up at the feeding trough. They told Mary and Joseph what the angels said. Mary treasured their words and pondered them. It's like a list of bullet points. Here's what Christmas is. It's Mary and Joseph. It's shepherds. It's a feeding trough. They weren't let into the guest room. They were put out where the cattle were. They had an announcement in the middle of a field that came to the shepherds first. Those angels sang. Mary and Joseph were met up by these shepherds who shared the good news that these angels had spoke over Jesus. When they left, Mary went, I wonder what all this is about. That's the what of Christmas. Just the detail, clipping through it. And they weren't the first ones to hear a what list, the readers of this Gospel of Luke. They weren't the first ones to have a list of what Christmas was, because prior to the birth of Jesus, prior to the conception of Mary by the Holy Spirit, prior to this, some hundreds of years earlier, there was already a list of what was going to happen that was being formed and being told to the people. And the prophet Micah is the first one that said a Savior would be born in Bethlehem. A Savior would come from the line of David. Jeremiah said these words. A Savior would be born of a virgin. Isaiah spoke these words like 600 years before they happened. And a Savior is first mentioned in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in chapter 3, verse 15. Already, we're hearing about a Redeemer. So we could go through the what of Christmas and talk about shepherds and talk about stars. We could talk about mangers. We could talk about all the what of Christmas. But as we think about the what of Christmas, I just don't think the what of Christmas is going to motivate us all that much. I don't think it actually motivates people to move where we need to move when we think about Christmas. Because if it's only about the what, I could take a blanket and stand up here and we could give Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 20 and give the whole list of what, ask for the lights, drop the blanket, pick it back up and walk off and say, now that's what Christmas is all about. And if I said that's what Christmas is all about and we gathered year after year to talk about what Christmas is all about, my guess is that might get us here, but it will not get us there. It'll get us here, but it won't get us there. And when I talk about there, what I'm talking about is aligned, fully aligned, living, fully living, embracing, fully embracing the dream that was birthed in the heart of God, that he was conceiving in his mind. For what Christmas would be for us, the why he was doing it in the first place. And when we think about people that have taken culture and they have bent it, moved it, none like Jesus, because Christmas has the ability to bend all of history into itself. Has the ability to capture the heart and pull us magnetically toward it. But when we think about people that have made that kind of impact in the world, every single one of them moved past the what they were doing, and they had a why that was birthed deep inside of them, that was motivating them and moving them to make a difference, to give their life to it, and maybe even give their life for it. I don't think any of us will miss these words and where they came from when I share these words from a famous guy from our culture. When he spoke, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and will live into its true creed that all men are created equal. I have a dream that the red hills of Georgia will one day see the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners able to sit down together and share the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. And we know who that man is. We know this man was Dr. Martin Luther King that had a dream that tipped our culture. And the why, and the dream he made crystal clear. And a massive part of that dream that was burning inside of him, the why he was given his life for this, had to do with part of that famous speech where he said, I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation that they will not be judged in because of the color of their skin, but rather the content of their character. I have a dream. My question is, God, what is your dream here? What were you conceiving in your mind? What were you birthing out of your heart? Why? Christmas. Why? And we know that that must have been the reality, that there was a why in the heart of God, because we heard the what coming out of the prophets hundreds of years before the angels showed up to speak good news of great joy for all people, for unto you a Savior has been born. And I was thinking about tonight. I mean, weeks and weeks ago, thinking about tonight and thinking, I've been preaching on Christmas Eve for 20 years, standing up here to tell the story. And for a moment, I was thinking, what angle am I going to take this year that I haven't taken before? What new thing can I bring that I haven't brought before? And I started thinking, why would I try to bring something new when the telling of this story never gets old? Why would I try to find a new angle, something slick into this thing, when this story, to conceive it in my mind, to even give thought of this in my mind, is to blow my mind. It's that big a story. And there is no preacher across this land that shouldn't have something amazing to say in just telling this story, because the what of this story blows my mind. Just the what? We're not even talking about the why. Just the what? Like, are you kidding me? Jesus came from outside this world. He, the author that breathed everything that exists into existence, came from outside to this speck of dust called planet Earth and the greater universe. And he took notice of us. He locked eyes with us, every single one of us. The what of Christmas is incredible, but the why of Christmas, well, the what of Christmas can blow our minds, but the why of Christmas, it can change your heart. It's captured my heart. And the weight of Christmas, the ability to pull all of history, a reset of the clock, a reorientation of the calendar, and a reorientation of everything for me, to make me a different man than I used to be. So many of us here that know Christ saying, we are not the same people that we used to be, because to meet up with Jesus is to be forever changed. This why of Christmas boils down to just three words. Or three letters, I mean. And those letters are you. Y-O-U. The why of Christmas is you. It's you. And I wonder if maybe some of us here today are saying, I wish that could be true. But if you only knew my story. I actually do know your story. Your story is actually my story, and it's the story of the person sitting next to you and in front of you and behind you. It just has different detail. That's it. We all have a story to tell. We all have detail that just differs a little bit, but the story is that each one of us is so loved by God that he sent his son into this world for you. And if you're resisting that, going, well, I can grab hold of the why, that why God would do that, that God is a loving God that longs for his children to come home. If Martin Luther King could have a dream that he's willing to die for, saying, I long for a day that my four daughters, my four children, my four kids, that my four would be able to live in a land where they're not judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. If Martin Luther King, then how much more God, if he's a loving God, can look and say, I long for all of my children to be mine. I can grab that, but I wonder if there's exceptions. I wonder if I'm one. I wonder if I just have been written out of the what of this story even. Well, in the what of the story, there was this line in the Gospel of Luke that we already heard that said, by the angel's mouths, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you, you're even in the what of the story. Unto you, go ahead and get personal with that. Not unto some place 2,000, unto you, a son has been given to bring you back. Unto you, a Savior has been born. And his name is Christ the Lord. And Jesus came into this world, just to boil it down, for really two reasons. Just two reasons. He came into this world, number one, to seek and save that which is lost. And number two, he came to destroy the work of the enemy. To seek and save that which is lost. He came because lost people matter to him. We who wander, and my story is your story. We have the same story, just different detail. We who are wandering, who maybe know the what of Christmas, we can talk about it, but never made that transformation of just 18 inches from head to heart, where we actually felt the compelling pull of the magnetic love of God to drag us in. That he's saying, I'm seeking you. I don't want just your mind. I want everything. I want a relationship with you, a personal one. And maybe that whole seek and save the lost thing, you can understand it if you think about something you've lost that really mattered to you. A dog that wandered off, or a cat that wandered off. Or maybe it was a ring that was passed down from generation to generation, and suddenly in your generation, you can't find it, and you're desperate to find it. Just ramp that up and to the right so far, and you begin to capture God's heart. When God said, the reason that I forgive you, it's not just for you, it's for me. And he says, I redeem you. I've forgiven you for my own sake. Because I want you in relationship with me. That's why he came. And the other reason that Jesus came is to destroy the work of the enemy. Because out of a tremendous love, God looked at this world that we were in, that we are in. And he understands. Jesus has been here. God incarnate with us has been in our flesh, has been in our world. And understands what loneliness is. He's been rubbing shoulders with people that have been lonely. He understands what despair looks like because he's been on this planet. He understands what death looks like because he stood at the grave of a friend of his and wept with a group around. But remember the words of John? When John said, I'm getting off this planet to start this story, and I'm going to bring it from outside this world into this world, because there was a light that was breaking into this world, and it was coming to obliterate darkness. So you need not be lonely anymore, though in this world you will still taste it. You need not despair like people without hope, because you have a hope that goes beyond the grave. And death itself has been undone. He went to the grave and he conquered it. And you too, if you believe in him and live in him, That grave won't hold you any more than it held him. There's hope beyond the grave. And so tonight, for those of you that I've been praying the hardest for, it's the people that were like, are like I was when I sat actually in this very same church when I was in my early 20s, 20, 21 years old. I knew the what of Christmas. If you asked me what it was about, I would have never told you it's a pickle. I would have never, ever, ever told you it's about trees and presents and all that. I wouldn't have said it was about well wishes. I would say it's about Jesus breaking into this world. It's about Jesus going to the cross. It's about him coming up out of the grave for every single one of us. I could have told you the what of Christmas, but at that point in my life, the weight of his love, I still hadn't been captured by it and dragged into it. And to meet up with him, it changed everything. Jesus came, I think it was Max Lucado, probably others that said, Jesus came to populate heaven with you, to give you a hope, both in this world, that I'm with you, no matter your storm, and to know that when you hit that grave, you don't hit it alone. I'll be with you right there, and I'll take you straight on home with me. So I want to ask that we would pray tonight, if this is the night for you, that this is transformed from head to heart, and Christmas is about ready to come to you in a way that it hit me when I was in my early 20s. Jesus, we thank you for a love that went from outside this world into this world. And from this world, as you walked around, it went from here to a cross, from the cross into a grave. And out of that grave, you came and obliterated darkness itself. And if there be any of us here today that you've been moving on and we're in that place going, I know what Christmas is. But the why of Christmas, your incredible love for me, is capturing me right now. Well, we give ourselves to you. Your pitch for our hearts, it's met up by the pull, a magnetic pull in our hearts toward you. And we want to say thanks. Thanks for forgiving us. Thanks for doing it for your sake. And for ours, thanks for resetting this world for us, this moment for us, giving us new vision, new eyes, new ears, giving us a brand new hope. And we bless you for the gift of Christmas right here in this place right now. Amen.